This is tape 2, February the 5th, 1995. I'll repeat some of this. There was one $10,000 charge to a lady in Texas, and that credit card company is more involved than here. Russbacher's made dozens of calls to you, our readers, for money and credit card numbers. And yet, we should feel badly about Ray being fit to be tied?
Not.
If there are any legal charges against Russbacher, and there are, then it is higher up the ladder. The Austrian police seem to have a record for Herr von Russbacher that goes back a long, long way. The point here, however, is not that of taking without asking. But it is obvious that at the places where at Russbacher's were getting these charges through, there had to be accomplices, or possibly ones using the cards without Russbacher's permission as well. E.J. could write dozens of letters and accomplish nothing. He hasn't brought any charges, neither can he afford to pay the bills. According to the Austrian police, Ray skipped the country, again and possibly amusing, on Ed's credit card. Now you tell me how this can be construed to be another's fault. As to Gunther's arteries, forget it. There is nothing wrong with Gunther Russbacher except total monarch-type control. Ray has been has become a part of that controlling influence, and it would appear that possibly...
Thank you.
You see, because they are sworn to lie, and I mean it, and every Mason knows it. Everyone who follows the protocol, everyone who is a Talmudist knows it. You swear to lie. That's just part of the game. Every lawyer swears to lie. You don't even go into a courtroom where they don't snicker and say, well, it's whoever can lie the best and be the best actor and do the best job. And the people involved are just, they're just there. This is a performance. Enjoy it. It's wonderful to see some good, smart, shrewd attorneys at work. Doesn't mean they're going to tell the truth. They're going to sway the information every way they can. So when you sit and tell the truth, it is there every time you need to repeat it. And they don't know what to do with it. They cannot believe, because they lie all the time and the story changes every time, that you are standing on the truth and it'll be the same over and over and over again. And Dorma could sit there, EJ could sit there, they own no stock in anything. Why can they be on food stamps? Because they don't have anything. Now they'll get a little bit of Social Security, and they don't have the books. They didn't seem to understand that they don't own the books. I can give you away the rights. But it doesn't mean anything. They're already given over. Any profits ever given over to the Institute. Therefore, I nor Eckers can have any impact whatsoever on, say, somebody in Canada or Australia or Texas or Virginia reprinting these books. And they might well want to come back to the Institute about it. The Eckers are not contact. They can promise they will never advertise these books in the paper. But that doesn't mean that Ed Young may not decide to run an ad for those books if he knew where there are some. And apparently George Green still has some. Every now and then somebody calls and said, I talked to George and he still has some. We can't help that, can we? And I'm tired of my people being responsible for what others do. and being cited for contempt of court by what somebody else has done and then runs and hides behind the other side. That's why I will come before you and ask to have these things read in the open, on the air, or printed. We don't hide because we don't lie. And that is the only way that you're going to be able to build your nation again. They don't know what to do with truth and honor. And I don't have to worry about that word getting out there. That is truth. That is God. That is light. And somebody is going to get it out there. And I'm not interested in the money. Confound it, some of these people who have promised are going to do it. Or they're going to be very, very sorry. Mr. Rusbacher owes you. What was the bargain? A great many billions. B-I-L-L-I-O-N-S of funding money that he said he had. The term used, the last conversation was $33 billion. And I said, we don't want $33 billion. We want what we bargained for. We want what we need. But we're not the ones hurt. You think you're hurt. You're not hurt. The ones hurt are the ones like Michael and Kenneth, who not only had everything in it, they had their necks out. And they were betrayed. And they were betrayed by a bottle of booze. And you think that your enemy can't get to you. Oh, your enemy can get to you the minute you blink. We are going to do this job. We're going to do this job. And many ones are going to reap great rewards. I have the secret of life. You don't need a fountain of youth. When you really realize what you're about, you won't want to bother with face peels and Gaia trim. You will be light. And you can look any way you want. And why go through all that boring stuff? I hold the secret of the universe, not because I'm so brilliant, but I'm part of it. And it's built within me, just like it's built within you. All you've got to do is re-bring it to the surface. And there is nothing that can stand against that. And yet, if your focus is on this little pile of gold here, or this little 20-cent deal here, or this $150 deal here, and I want my share, you aren't going to not only get your share, you're going to miss the golden ring. And I could just let everybody in the world do that. But my mission is to bring it here. Not in Timbuktu. Here where the crystal is. It's my center. It's my focus. This is where I was to bring this word. Not all the words. And I don't need 20 writers to have 20 versions for you to figure out. Yeah, that is a distraction. That's why I'm trying to bring you enough confirmation on enough subjects so that you can trust me enough to hopefully think that I know what I'm doing. And if it's about a corporation formation in Nevada, or what you can do over here in Nevada, or whether we're dealing with the cellular one-cell structure of life, we've covered about as many subjects as there are, haven't we? So I know a little bit about a lot of things, enough so that, as our Blessed One MacPherson said, looking at Dorma, "I just don't think you're that bright." You may think that's insulting. She burst out laughing. That's the best confirmation she could get. And the day that she said, "Hey, I'm telling you, I cannot be responsible for what you do." And I said, "Thank God we made it. I don't want her responsible for me. I want her to repeat what I ask her to tell. In English, preferably." Occasionally we go to Lakota Sioux. And that's confusing to everything when I say a Wakan, Wakan, Wakantanka. Put it on the holy altar of God. The little crow understands me. But we're going to misspell it. She speaks English. And I don't play games. If I want to speak Russian, I'll find me a Russian. If I want to speak Japanese, I will find me a Japanese. Why would I make her speak another language unless I am trying to get just a little bit of a notice to somebody who's missing it? I don't have to do that anymore. When I need little crow's attention, Dorma always knows I've made the connection, because the eagle, spotted eagle, appears over their house. Not just with the usual circling, but it will cut across the patio, or it will land on the birdhouse. That is the kind of communication all of you will eventually have. So it's not remarkable that she would be sitting up in this chair. I repeat, the glasses are to protect her eyes from the light, both inner and outer. It is like watching the pictures go by, and there is nothing but that flimsy, thin little eyelid to protect her eyes. It's been a long walk, friends, and I want it on record. It's been a long walk in a short period of time. You are talking about a universe and billions of years of evolution and evolvement of soul. And the first book was a fantasy, and then nothing more was written into book form until late summer, early fall of 1989. Since 1989, you are working on which volume? 124. And ones who want to say, "Ah, but she just Xeroxed everything," I want you to feel her hands. She is the only person I know with calluses around the tendons of the palms of her hands. The reason that I do it that way is because I cannot judge how much a reader can take by using technological scanners, and I want it in her databanks. And if she can write it, I know you can read it. So don't tell me how busy, how tired. "I just can't read this big a paper." Well, you guys wrote it. Surely people can read it. If not, go take a Evelyn Wood speed reading course. There's nothing new in it if you've been reading all these years the right material. And there again, for your confirmation, how many of the ladies in this room, and I have observed your baby showers, and Margie, for goodness sakes, how in the world can you do all that quilting? And I know you're going to say in the spare time, these ladies would rather be quilting than doing this. They'd rather be putting little lace things on baby clothes. Or having parties, or cooking, or doing their home. But they're doing this. And I don't care who you are, I want to know who could walk into Beale Library, or the library in L.A., and go and pick out these particular books that we may use. Who would go back into the archives and pull out a book on light by Walter Russell, who's dead? Who would go and check out an unknown author? Especially when you would not choose this subject. That should be your confirmation more than any one other thing. She would not go choose these subjects. And she goes down to the typewriter or the computer keyboard just as blank as a piece of paper. Whatever she thinks she's going to do is not usually what we do. And that's a test for flexibility. Are you so set that today you just want to do this? Or will you listen to me? So research? No. She doesn't research. She offers what I ask her to offer. And it might really be good for Dr. Gordon if Jean managed to find the writing that I did, and I believe that Al and Ed Young are the only ones that have it on the technical aspect of Gyandrana, the living cell, the life cell. It wasn't time to run it in the paper. I don't think that people would understand it, although it's certainly not technical in that sense of the word. You know, that a chemist would not understand it or something. I say that because I want it known to everyone that she's bright. But my goodness, how many of you can remember as many things as she can sit here Sunday after Sunday for 4 or 5 hours in a row while I spout off? And yet, it's all in her data banks.
Commander?
Yes?
I'd like to say something just briefly on what you just said. From your writing yesterday or today that I just read, this is brilliant. I have to put an editor's note in front of it.
Would you repeat that brilliant part? I see he followed it on by, I had to put an editor's note.
Well, I had to because it was, I read it and it was the writing, I think, from yesterday. And it's where you were introducing Jordan Maxwell and the phrase you used to begin it. The subtitle was called Maxwell's Laws. Maxwell's equations. And I saw that, and you were, then underneath you said, that's Jordan Maxwell. But the brilliance of that statement, Maxwell's equations are the four fundamental equations of electromagnetic theory. They are very compact mathematical equations that describe the interactions between electric and magnetic fields, and they were first put together by James Clerk Maxwell in about 1897, 1898. And they are precise, concise, symbolic representations of phenomena. Now, if you take that way of looking at it and then see the way Commander used it as Maxwell's equations, where he then starts to talk about Jordan Maxwell's use of Freemasonry symbolism. Symbolism. What are mathematical equations? Symbols. So when you, I just stood there, I couldn't get past the first introduction in the paragraph of the first thing because I thought, holy hell, this is not trivial to put that title in front of, and nobody would know that unless you knew about Maxwell's equations, just how potent of a subtitle those two words were, Maxwell's equations in front of Jordan Maxwell.
Well, wouldn't that then make Maxwell smart?
Oh!
That's between you and Commander to argue that one, not me.
Well, let's say that Maxwell was a lot brighter than was Einstein.
That's true.
Anyone else want to say anything wonderful? EJ was trying to change that. I listened into this conversation. Are you sure that shouldn't be Maxwell's theorems? Dharma said, shoot, I don't know. Put whatever you want there. It's a very big universe. Yet there's no time, no space. And every now and then you break that barrier, you see. This is one thing I want you to get out of the Monarch Papers. As distasteful as it is, know that there are ways literally to break that one barrier in the mind. It also breaks the mind in most instances. But it's like an experience or an expression in a dream. And this brings up something that I want to talk about. Let's just dissolve this into a visit. When we look at O.J. Simpson, and they get up and they make this completely confusing statement about him dreaming, and they're going to use this against him. This man, I have no prejudices, period. I'm making an observation. What most will not know is that O.J. Simpson was trained in the CIA. Now, that's number one, early on in his young career. It was a problem. Also, as he has moved into acting, they trained him as a frogman or a seal or as something for this last movie, which they purposely structured. This plan is old. And they've had to set up the players, and they have done a magnificent job. But things keep going wrong. You see, you cannot override the will that is attached to God. And this is where Rosie Grier is so valuable. Don't miss Rosie Grier, this great big football player who'll do needlepoint, going in there with the voice of God and sitting with OJ. And even they can't keep Rosie out. OJ was absolutely right when he said, I daresn't take a lie detector test because I've dreamt of killing her. Of course he's dreamt of killing her. They put it up there in his head. That's why you cannot have somebody, no matter how far back you regress them, not be able to tell you what an abduction by a space alien is like. And guess what you would draw if they asked you to draw a space alien? It would have big bug eyes and a little pointy chin. And it would be about 3 feet high. Why? Because that's what you've been told. So in your mind, that's the picture you're going to pull up first. Now is when it gets fun. And I could do it with anybody in this room. And we could really have fun the rest of the afternoon. I could take you back there to your first encounters with aliens. And they wouldn't be little three-footers. And you take a fresh mind. My precious little Ryan, who told all about all this experience with Hatton. On a place in Pleiades, he was waiting for Hatton to come home from one of his trips. And he talked about some of the experiences. Then we talked about the ship, and he was able to explain the exact placement of the crystal computer. And with his mother standing there, we asked him, "How old are you?" And I believe he said 12. The child was 10 years old. He can tell you about the underground facilities over here underneath Monolith. Well, over there.
Monolith is a cement plant.
Right. And there is a very large working facility in that area. And every now and then, up Sand Canyon, you will find the large orbs floating out there. This is a very interesting place in which you're located. Those are plasmic balls. And it's hard to tell who is doing what. So you cannot figure out what it is. Although we could take you back in your mind, and yes, you would pull that out. But this is why an O.J. Simpson is smart enough not to take a lie detector test, because in his mind he was shown that. And he knows, because it was against every will of his being associated with his spiritual aspect, and that cannot be overridden. You've got to take a child and bring it up in the Monarch program to get that kind of response. You can take a person who is capable of that kind of behavior and change them. O.J. Simpson is not one of them. So you can know right off the top, he did not do that. That was a ritual murder. And the clues are everywhere. And yet he may well be convicted. They intend to convict him. How else are you going to get everybody to riot? But they may pull down part of the police force before they get that far, mightn't they? So now we've got two riots going. They're pulling down your nation. And every day you will hear it increasingly stronger and stronger and stronger, the racial issue. Furman is guilty. Whatever the black guy. God, watch it. Hear it. Who did you talk to when you called Furman? And then set O.J. up. He told me about the bloody glove and cap, and his defense attorney objected. Nobody knew about that. Nobody knew about that. And yet Daryl Gates gets on the air later and says, "Oh, he was so honest. Honest. This man was in OJ's borrowed jacuzzi with another woman than his wife. He dropped in after a party with O.J. He was so drunk, he made a fool of himself. He went over to visit this blonde woman who just happened to be writing this book. And they were both alcoholics, so he just needed to, oops, tell her that he had been drinking. And they said, how did you get there? I drove. Drunk? Well, I'm not proud of it, but I did. And how did you get from her place? Well, I drove. You have this fine, upstanding bastion of the law driving around drunk, dropping in on women in the wee hours of the morning just into their apartment. And Daryl Gates says, isn't he the most honest thing you have ever seen? I mean, some of these things are really kind of damaging to him. But he's telling the truth right out there. Good grief. And who's looking for the killers? Nobody. And be careful of Rush Limbaugh. You get sucked in. You get sucked in. He's going to belittle everybody who comes along who might disagree with him. Enjoy him for the good that he does, but know he is dangerous. Anybody want to get in on this conversation? Poor Zita's having to sit through, and every one of you would enjoy it.